Shmuel Beis, Perek Dalet, Pasuk Ches, carrying their grisly bag full of the head of Ishbosheth. Bana and Recha make their way across country in the dead of the night by Yaviu es Rosh Ishbosheth el David Chevron. So they brought the head of Ishbosheth to David in Chevron, somehow in their own twisted way, thinking that this is going to work out well for them. Vayomer el HaMelech, and they said to the king, Hinei Rosh Ishbosheth ben Shaul Oyivcha. Here is the head of Ishbosheth, the son of Shaul, your enemy, Asher Bikeshes Nafshecha, who tried to kill you, who sought to end your life. By Yitain Hashem Ladoni HaMelech Mekamos Hayom Hazeh Mishaul Umizaro. And God today has avenged our master, technically my master, with vengeance. My master, the king of Shaul, and of his seed, of his offspring. So David had never done direct harm to any relation or descendant of Shaul. But Bana and Rechav are expecting rewards. Now, after all, why are they so sure that David is going to treat them better than that Amaleki who died before? So another way of looking at it is that in the meantime, between the story of the Amaleki and this story, was the story of Abner. And Yoav and Avishai were not only not punished for killing Abner, but they were kind of excused. They were allowed to continue holding their high positions. So they think, maybe that's going to help. After all, he needed them as soldiers, and these guys, Bana and Rechav, are captains in the army. Maybe he needs us too. And we didn't raise our hands against the Anointed One, because when David said, way back in Perek Aleph to the Amaleki, you raised your hand against the Mashiach Hashem, Ishbosheth had never been a Mashiach Hashem. He had never been anointed with anointing oil. So they're figuring it's fine. The Mamloe suggests, and this is a great idea, that maybe they were hoping, because they didn't say we killed him. They said here is his head. So they're hoping it's going to be interpreted as they were acting under orders. Maybe even the Kashim themselves, Yoav and Avishai, were the ones who sent them. So they're very careful in how they phrased it, hoping that this would work out well and they would win favor with David. So they didn't say we killed him, they just said here's his head. You know? But not only that, maybe he's like a Rodev. Shaul was trying to kill you, so can't we take his head also? Here we go. You can be the king. You have the head. There's also halakhically Bana and Rechav thought that an Amaleki could convict himself by his own testimony. But a Jew who testifies, somebody who's Modek, can't convict himself. It's pleading the fifth. The Fifth Amendment, you get self-recrimination. They're not recriminating themselves. So maybe we're going to get away with that too. So he can't put us to death because of that. Maybe killing the Amaleki was a hurrah shah. So there's a lot of different halachic aspects of why they thought that they were going to be safe. And that David was going to enjoy the fact that they had killed the offspring of Shaul. Not the last offspring, but one of the remaining ones. But they are, as you can imagine, sadly mistaken. Pasuk Tes, Vayan David es Rechav es Bana Ochiv b'nei Rimon ha-be'irosi. Poor Rimon. Rimon's name keeps getting mentioned over and over and over again. When things like that happen, that usually means dishonor on these men and dishonor on the family. Dishonor on your family, dishonor on your cow, as Mushu once said. So it's a dishonor on everybody. When things are really bad for a Russia, but the forefather doesn't deserve it, you don't trace the lineage all the way back. So a Jew who did evil, I can't remember, we did it earlier in Nacht, was mentioned as going back, and it didn't bring it all the way back to Yaakov Avinu, because it was none of his responsibility that his descendant would do such a terrible thing. So David answered Rechav and Bana, his brother, who were the sons of Rimon, the Be'er Osi, Vayomer Lohem, and he says to them, Chai Hashem, Asher Podo Es Nafshi Mikol Tzara. Oh boy, as God lives, who has redeemed my nefesh, redeemed my soul from every trouble, from every tight spot. When David ever says, Chai Hashem, that's pretty strong. Pasuk Yud, Ki Hamagid Li Leimor Hine Meis Shaul. And David is the one who makes an explicit reference to the Amaleki. when somebody told me that Amaleki youth, behold, Shaul is dead. And in his own eyes, he thought of himself as bringing good news. He thought he was tweeting out what everybody wanted to see. Hey, I'm the first to tweet it. I got retweeted a million times. I went viral. Little did he know. And I took hold of him. And what did I do? And I executed him. I killed him in Siklag. And this was Asher Lasiti Lo Besora. This was his reward for the tidings that he brought me, for the good news. You dummies? What happened to him? And this young man thought I was going to hug him, and I was going to kiss him, and I was going to thank him, and it took place in Siklag, which was in a foreign land under the rule of the Plishtim, but I did what had to be done. Yudalav Afki Anoshim Rishayim Hargoesh Es Ish Tzadik Beveso Al Mishkavo. And now, wicked men have murdered a righteous man, a tzaddik. He had never done anything to me. He wasn't my enemy, Ishbosheth. He was a righteous man. In his house, on his own bed. And now, should I not demand vengeance for his blood from your hands? And obliterate you from the earth. Just like I knew what had to be done to the Amaleki, I know what had to be done to you. He thought he was doing something that would make him powerful and win my favor. You thought the same. But nope, 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 nope. Shaul's son was an onav. He was humble. He was reserved. The people who killed him deserved very strict punishments. And even if you want to say that Shaul maybe deserved to die or his death was somehow justified because he had killed the Kohanim of Nov, Ishbosheth had never done anything of the kind. And he hadn't even desired the throne. It was pushed upon him. And you are Rishayim. Yudbeiz vayitzav David es hana'orim vayahargum. Period. A period to their existence, as they used to say. David instructed the young man, and they killed them. Bano and Rechav. By a katsutsu es yedehem das raglehem, and they chopped off their hands and their feet. Again, very unusual for Jews to punish somebody that way. By yisloat lahabarecha bechevron, and they hung them over the pool in Chevron. Everybody out of the pool. We have two dead bodies to hang over here. Pirates of the Caribbean. You're coming into Tortuga. You see all those bodies lying and dangling there. So he wanted them to suffer a horrible death and be a lesson for all of Klal Yisrael to take note of what was done, and so there wouldn't be any more scheming against the few descendants that Shaul had left. And they took the head of Ishbosheth and buried it in the tomb of Avner in Hebron. And the connection with Avner is that just as he had mourned publicly over Avner and made it clear that he had nothing to do with his death, he had Bano and Rechav hung in a public place, hanged by the neck, to make it clear that he had not sent them against Ishbosheth, and he had nothing to do with that murder either. Terrible violence is happening around David, but he never ordered it, and he didn't want it, and he punished it when he saw it. That it was, as the Radak says, Biyosher Lavavo, with the straightness of his heart, he took vengeance on what had been done to the base Shaul. Measure for measure, Mida Keneged Mida. They raised their hands against the Melech, so he cut off their hands. By hustling and hurrying to do evil and then run away, he cut off their feet. And for cutting off his head, which is somehow connected to the idea, I suppose, of strangulation, of hanging, he hung them up to make it clear that nobody would have the right to ever do anything like that again, certainly to Mephibosheth. The head, the Chazal tell us, was a head filled with Torah knowledge. And it was laid to rest alongside the body of the man who had put the crown on that head, who was Abner, whose support of Ishbosheth kept him on the throne and free to learn Torah. And Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi teaches, and this is brought down, I believe, in the Gemara somewhere, I don't know the exact source, three people spoke the truth and were uprooted from this world and the next world. And the three were the Nachash in Gan Eden and the two sons of Rimon HaBe'erosi. So what truth that they spoke ended up condemning them. and we're uprooted in all possible worlds. So we see, again, a lesson about David. He's not just strengthening the kingship. He is showing us how a true king behaves and teaching the people how to behave, how to conduct yourself between Bein Adam LaMakom and Bein Adam LaChaveiro. Every story is a tremendous lesson about what Malchus David means. And considering that we daven about it every single day in Shmoneh Esrei, we need to be aware of what we're davening for as we approach Tisha B'Av and we think about the restoration of Malchus Beis David that we've davened for so long. This is the person we're talking about, the greatest melech of the history of Klal Yisrael, the sweet singer of Israel, the writer of Tehillim, but also the wager of the wars of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we will see more as we go on and sort of skip a couple of years, fast forward into David's reign expanding.